sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
I hope you die in this trash. I can't help it. All I hear when you crying is laugh. I'm sure somebody find you tied up in this bag behind the hospital little baby crack addicts had. Then maybe you could grow up to be a stripper, a welfare receiving prostitute and gold digger. You can watch on TV how they should properly depict you. The river shall flow with liquor, quench your thirst on my elixir. I am the safe haven for the rebel runaway and the resistor. The trusted misleader, the number one defender. And from the throne of their bones, I rule. These fools are my fuel, so I make them cool. Baptize them in the water of the Scarface pool and feed them from the table that held the Corleone's food. If you die, tell them that you played my game. I hope your bullet holes become mouths that say my name, because I'm... That shit's deep. That shit is deep. Shout out to Lupe Fiasco. Hey, yo, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. La Grand Papa B. Before I continue with today's show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast, in case you didn't know, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, blue, and a red-black flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Usually I say a red, black, oh my God. Okay, waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm having a tough start. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Dede Quebec, and Soul in the City and Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 23rd, 2023. Interesting. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too! Yeah, I got this dream, because, you know, I like to fantasize, because I'm a dreamer like that, actually, it's not a dream, the moment it just hit me while I recited that out, and the image of me being on a stage or doing a live recording, and repeating this intro, and when I got to the end, the whole audience chimed with me. If you wanna be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Followed by. I mean, you know, more like black people were clapping, kind of shit like that. But yeah, man, that's a dream. That's a. You know when they say dreams that intimidate you? I think I just thought of that one. That one is one of those, I don't know if I'll call it a dream, but it's a thought. The image just popped in my head while I was reciting shit. A lot of thing goes on in my head while I'm talking to you, but that's another story. But that's kind of wild. That's kind of wild. It it kind of reminds me of this. I'm breaking you into this today's episode. I was gonna bring this up, but I'm a little bummed out. My therapist gave me an assignment to do, but I didn't do it because the assignment involves courage. And, you know, ever been in a situation where you know you need to do something and you can't get yourself to do it, but you acknowledge, you recognize that, you're being a little bitch right now. Not a little bitch, but you realize that you're being not courageous. No, it doesn't involve telling someone a truth that they don't want to hear. It's a longer conversation. It's a longer conversation. Let's just say that I'm gonna finish today's intro so we can get into today's this whole ass episode. And I'm gonna finish this intro with playing this clip that I found on the internet. Shout out to what's it called? Bumper Music. What are they called? Oh, Bumbag Music. Bumbag Music. My second language is English, so fuck y'all. Bumbag Music, and I love this shit. Here we go. I found it inspiring.
And you don't have a Lamborghini, you should...
One more time.
20s, and you don't have a Lamborghini, you should actually sit down and have, like, a serious discussion with yourself as to why you don't have a Lambo.
Yep.
Because it's... I realize now that it's so incredibly easy...
Ooh, another white boy with a podcast. Crypto. Gym bro, another white boy with a podcast. Pronouns, hell no. Another white boy with a podcast. Meal prep, sports bet, another white boy with a podcast. My dog once licked my balls. Do you want to see the video? It went viral.
Oh, my man Renzo. Renzo Dashington laughed at this shit. It's funny, man. I think I'm sharing this clip while also sending a shout out to everyone on the internet with a podcast worth a damn. You know what I mean? Worth, like inspiring and shit. Like sharing an energy that can't be found, that are hard to find. Sharing a rare form of energy, especially if it's inspirational. Being a voice for people that don't think they should have a voice. How should I say this? Yes. As I'm bringing, yeah. All right. Okay. And you guys don't realize this, but I'm kind of pumping myself up at the same time. And while I say this, I'm going to also end today's intro portion of the podcast by playing a clip that I played on the last episode. Shout out to Heather Powell, the coach. Heather Powell, the coaching. And she said some shit that I... fuck it, I gotta play it again on this episode. Here we go. Shut the fuck up, B. Play it.
With all due respect, stop fucking playing small. Please. Stop playing small. Stop pretending that you're not as amazing as you are. Stop pretending that you're not as gifted as you are. Stop putting yourself in small boxes. Stop pretending like you are not here for a bigger fucking purpose. Mm. If you're watching this right now, I set a lot of intentions with this video, but if you're watching this right now, you needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. And the reason you needed to hear that is because the world needs you. We are in the moment. We are in an incredible moment of history right now, and the world needs you. The world needs your gifts. The world needs your voice. The world needs your fucking love. It needs everything that you can give right now. Everything you feel comfortable giving and everything you don't feel comfortable giving, step into the fear because the world needs you right now.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'll probably elaborate on this thought in the final thought, but shout out to everyone. Shout out to everyone this message applies to. There we go. Because we're one family. Don't get me started. I'm gonna say some kumbaya shit about the human race, but you know what? Let's just get the show started. What am I missing? Yes, news and random thoughts. Let's do this, all right? Come on. Yeah. Hey, I fixed this today.
I ain't no devil. This is not the words of Jesus Christ.
Shut your mouth, Cain, bitch.
Yeah, I just played that out of nowhere. If you're a returning listener, you will recognize that sound. And if you're not, then you'll just be confused by why I played. Well, I mean, I'm kind of hoping it made you laugh. By a nice Christian woman being offended at the fact that she was being called a devil. Okay, Christian white woman. But that's another story. All right, let's go. News and random thoughts. Okay, I've been doing more news than random thoughts, or I have. Okay. I have a real random thought. This one came to me as, you know, I had a realization that I tend to forget that a lot of time has happened since high school. A lot of time have passed by since I've been in high school. And the reason I bring this up is I was in a situation where I realized, okay, you know when you have these thoughts, your brain likes to fuck with you and say, hey, remember that time you talked to that girl and she dissed you? Or remember when you tried to holler at that girl and you dissed? Remember when you did something really embarrassing? Like, your brain likes to remind you of shit that you regret doing, that you wish you didn't do, that you're like, ah, fuck, cringe, why are you killing me with this shit? And I'm realizing a lot of these fucking thoughts come from high school. Occurred in high school. Like, sure, in my early adult life, but a significant portion of these memories, my brain will replay a memory that occurred in high school, and I'll react to it like it was just now. And I completely forget the fact that, how old am I now? 48? 30 years, goddamn! Yeah, 30 years have gone by. Wait, 18? I'm doing the math. Yeah. 30 years has gone by since I was in high school, since that moment occurred. And I'm specifically focused on my those high school memories that my brain keeps playing in my head and acting like it was just yesterday. Because I realize I had this. Okay, this is gonna sound. It's gonna sound. It is cringy. I was at a doctor's appointment, and the technician was a young lady, just a pleasant young lady who was very kind to me, and basically a true professional. Right? I was. I was getting my lungs checked out. My pubos, whatever. Anyways, young lady, holy professional. It's as if she knows, you look like the type who's probably scared of being around hospital, so I'm gonna be extra kind to you, whatever. Just be hella helpful and shit like that. Now, I bring this up because my stupid, it's like, I know what it's like to be a fuckboy, man. No, this story does not end with me doing fuckboy shit. No, that's it. I'm analyzing my thoughts in that fucking moment, right? What happened is she was being kind, professional, and in my head, I forget that I'm not that kid in high school. I forget that I'm not one of her peers, one of her homies, or whatever. I forget that this shit is not going to end with me saying, so, what you saw, baby? You know what I mean? So, in that moment, I felt like I was interpreting her kindness as, oh, shit, is this chick flirting? And it's only towards the end that it hit me that I'm like, bro, you're getting your fucking, come on, it's Pumon, what's Pumon? Pulmonary? Fuck. Lungs. I think it's lungs. Yeah, lungs. The thing that, the part of your body that sucks in air. Okay, I'm going to translate this shit in English. Yeah, lungs. All right, fuck it. I'm going to trust my brain for once in a while, all right? I forget that I'm in a doctor doing old people shit right now. I'm getting my fucking lungs tested, right? I'm not an athlete. No, I'm getting fucking old. My body's breaking down, and my doctor's got me doing tests. Like, I completely forgot that why the fuck I'm getting tested and shit like that, because I'm an old fart who's about to die. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I'm having difficulty embracing the fact that I'm on older gentleman that I'm no longer a teen, but this is what this conversation is all about. And but my brain went from, wait a minute, she's not flirty. Wait a minute. This chick is probably speaking to me like I was one of the people. Like, she probably thinks I fought in World War II. And like, she's like, I'm just being nice to a senior citizen. So how was it like marching with Dr. King? Thank you for fighting racism. You know, it's like, it killed me. Okay, where I'm going with this is I was trying to make sense of the fact that why the fuck do I keep interacting or do I meet these younger people and forget that I am not in the same grade as them? I probably know their parents or their grandparents. You know, it's like I still see myself as the young buck who lived in his parents' home, who takes the bus, who takes the bus to work, to school. And I guess the reason I do that is because I keep remembering shit that has happened to me back in high school a very long motherfucking time ago, before the internet. Before the internet. I'm remembering this shit like it happened to me yesterday. And I'm realizing that, yo, from now on, every time you remember your high school memory, anytime you think of high school, remind yourself that shit happened a long motherfucking time ago, and you should probably let go of that memory. Yeah, so this complicated thought is just to say that on one is I need to let go of, or either let go or remember that high school was a long motherfucking time ago. Sure, I probably said some stupid shit back in high school, but that was a long motherfucking time ago. Get over it. Yeah, that popular chick didn't like you. Get over it. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's that, and there's also the fact that, accept the fact that it's their world. Okay, that's another challenge I have. When I see young people, I tend to... It's two things. When I see young people, it's either I forget that I am not one of their peers. I don't interact with them, but I still feel like the nerdy kid who's like, yeah, I wish I could hang out with them. Well, I bet they're going to that party tonight or whatever. It's either that or I'm like, all right, my time's over. You know, my time. It's their world now. You know, any moment now. If I should walk the streets and death takes me away, don't be surprised, son. Yeah, I wasn't here to stay. That's some Fuji verse I'm trying to recite. But my point is either I think I'm one of them or I remember that I am not one of them. But since I'm not one of them, I'm like, all right, I'm an old guy whose times is coming up. I don't know. It's like maybe, okay, you know what it is? I don't hang out with enough people. No, period. I don't hang out with people. But I don't hang out with people my age and my status, which is so hard to... Look, I know there are people my age having a fucking ball. I'm just saying I'm not those people. And part of not being those people is I am in uncharted water in terms of how I'm supposed to perceive the world and my role in it. Damn, B. Holy shit. Okay, that's... you know what? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yo, you know what? Hold on a second. Do I have a clap? Do something like that there? More fire.
All right.
I'm going to give myself a more. See, this is what happens. Sometimes I write thoughts, just one-liners on my run sheet. And sometimes it leads to some insightful thinking. And sometimes it leads to some bullshit. Some bullshit. But yeah, no, I realized that. Yeah, that's why I wrote that down. It's my inability or my struggles with being an older man. That's what it is. That's my current struggle. You know, aside from going to work, paying my taxes. Shit, that's coming up, right? Yeah, paying my taxes and doing responsible shit. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Along that same line, okay, next item on the rundown sheet, I wrote this down. I said, men married to great women versus the rest who are no better than me. No, I was thinking about, so early, I was just talking about my struggles as being an older man. And where did this start? Oh, right. Okay. I see where this is going. Yes. I was having a moment. Today's episode was nearly titled something along the lines about better days. When I was younger, it was easier to imagine, to think about the concept that the best has yet to come. Now that I'm in my late 40s, it's fucking hard to picture the best has yet to come. It's hard to, well, maybe I'm going through, maybe I'm getting close to a midlife crisis or some shit like that there. But I'm at the age where I can't stop thinking of death is just around the corner, you old guy. You know what I mean? You're gonna, you know, it's either gonna be a heart attack, you fat motherfucker. You know, I can't, I wonder if I should apologize. Nah, fuck it. I was gonna apologize for all these negative thoughts. I'm just being real. This is just sheer honesty coming out of my mouth. And it's not a quest for help. It's just me spitting out thoughts and acknowledging it. It's me just being real with you. All right. It's being real. And if it's not your cup of tea, I'll understand. All right. Where was I? Yes. Getting old. And yeah, I've been having difficulty having visions of better days. Like, it feels like, not after high school, it feels like, I think after my 30s, once I hit 40, the thought of it's just downhill from now on kept getting bigger and bigger. Like, somewhere in between 30s and 40s, life was still full of potential like my youth. But once I hit my 40s, life's just been feeling like all the, anything that should have happened, anything that would have made this life great, should have happened before. Because it hasn't happened, you're done. Again, maybe I need to hang out with people more my age and see how they, because I remember this one homeboy, I met this one dude a long time ago, and what was he? I think he went, he's some black dude, he went to MIT or some shit like that. I don't know, whatever. But the point is, motherfucker had money. He had one of those jobs that only him and three other people could do, so he was getting paid off the, I don't know if he was an SAP programmer or a COBOL. He was just working on something that only he knew how to do, so they were paying him out the yin yang. And one of the things he would do, so he had a lot of money. He had a lot of money, and when he went on vacation, he went on extravagant vacation time. Now, I like to think that, and he was single too. He wasn't the player type, but I like to imagine that. I wonder if he goes through life saying, ah, fuck it, I'm having a ball. Yo, shout out to Jamie Foxx, who, I hear he's going through some difficulties. Hold on, let me see Jamie Foxx. But that's on his show, The Fox, Jennifer continues to improve following medical incidents. Okay, so he's improving. But shout out to Jamie Foxx on his, he used to have a radio show called The Foxhole, and he used to end his show some shit like, I don't know if something along the line of, I hope heaven is better than this life that I have now because I'm having a ball or some shit like that. Basically saying that he's having a great life. He's just happy. Happy, you know what it is? Okay, yes. How to be a happy person. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So when I initially introduced the topic with men married to great women, it's not the fact that they're married to great women. It's men who are happy and appreciative of their circumstances and know how to embrace their blessings. I am so used to being around unhappy people. I don't mean like suicidal. I mean constantly complaining. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's like, I'm going to focus on your faults so I don't have to think of my own. Like those kind of people. And I just had this thought of, like, I was going to mention this on the podcast along the lines of the best is yet to come. Those miserable people, those miserable dudes are probably married, right? But all they do is bitch about their wives. Whether their wives are great, mediocre, or they're not compatible for them, but All these assholes do is fucking complain. But the worst part is they'll turn to me, they'll look at me and pretend like, yeah, no, I'm happier. I figured this life out because I'm married and you're not. But my point is, yeah, I need to learn how to be happy. That's, I guess that's my journey. Maybe I should write this shit down at some point. I need to learn how to be happy. In some ways, the final thoughts will kind of connect to that, man. Yeah, man, random thoughts. All right, okay. Speaking of learning to be happy, I found this, oh, man, this motherfucker. Oh, man. Oh, what a shame. Oh, no, he still got it. Okay, here we go. All right. I'm going to read it. It goes, just someone put this on Reddit, and it's in the Twitter subreddit. And I love this quote because I related to the homie. And he said, they said, browsing. Okay, the title goes, Twitter can really destroy your mental health. Browsing that app for long periods of time can really cause you to feel like society is on the verge of collapsing. It makes you feel like it's the end, like there's no hope for humanity. Amen. Everyone is complaining about something and everyone hates each other. Accounts exist solely to spread hate and create fear, and no one is going to stop them and no one cares. It's almost like it's lawlessness on that website, close to turning into another version of 4chan. Shit, it ain't already. It's interesting. They said 4chan. I said World Star Hip Hop. I noticed how anxious I feel after using Twitter. The type that makes you scared to leave the house. I noticed how I rarely smile or laugh while using Twitter, like I do a lot when I use Reddit or Instagram. Fuck Instagram. sorry, that was a personal thought. Didn't mean to interject that. All right. It's not exciting. It's like this app was designed to be depressing, to be the cesspool it is, to destroy people from the inside. I know it sounds like I'm extremely exaggerating, but it's just my experience. Man, I so agree with that post, man. All right, yes. At the end of this episode, at the end of this show, I will mention that you can holler at me on Twitter at @BBlizzak or Shut Up Podcast or at Shut Up Podcast. At Shut Up Podcast. Yeah, so, but no, I agree. I fucking hate Twitter, man. I'm on Twitter. I've compared Twitter to, like, the toxic girlfriend. By that, I mean I've been in a situation where I was in a relationship and a motherfucker was toxic and I didn't have the courage to leave it because it was so toxic. My biggest fear, I wasn't in love with the person. I was just more in fear of making that person angry. That was my glue to that person. And, the reason I compare it to the ex is because, sure, I enjoyed the sex. I would tell myself, where else am I going to get sex? That's my only reason to be in this relationship. What I'm getting at is I go to Twitter, I get my quick dopamine hit, and then after, regret it. I'm better just jerking off. but like I mentioned, I'm getting old and, you know, there's only so much time, so much jerking off you can do in a day. You know what I mean? High five. All right. what I'm getting at is, I fucking hate Twitter, man. I'm convinced that this, I don't know if Elon Musk is for real, but he's an asshole. If being an asshole is a show, or if he's really like that. But all I know is, yeah, man, he's like the motherfucker who shows up to the parties and scares all the hoes. And because all the hoes are gone, all the fellas are gone. If you haven't noticed, okay, if you go to a discotheque or to the clubs, if you hadn't noticed, right, promoters make sure that they attract the women. Like, they market towards the women. Why? Because they know us fucking dumb fellas will follow along. Oh, there's women in this shit. That's why women drink for free, because they know that, well, at least to the parties that I went to, you impress the women, the fellas will come along. Yeah. So Elon Musk is the asshole who shows up with the roofies, basically makes it, fucks up all your marketing, all your advertisement. Like, as soon as women hear that Elon Musk is at the party, everyone leaves. In the case of Twitter, it's less about the women, it's the smart folks. It's the insightful folks. It's the people who bring shit to a conversation. Twitter is making it difficult for those people to be on there. And also, they have this fucking feature called For You. And unlike TikTok, when they say For You, they actually mean it. When Twitter says For You, it's that, yeah, no, I'm trying to pair you up with people that are just going to piss you off, that's going to make you angry. If you're going to want to interact with these people, but it's going to bring, they're like Trump, Donald Trump. Trump brings out the worst out of people, but he keeps you engaged. That's what's important. That's what people love. That's what these advertisers or these news agencies love him, because he keeps motherfuckers glued to the TV. And Elon Musk is using that shit with Twitter. Yeah. I was going to share this one because I knew I was gonna go overtime with this shit. But yeah, man. Anyway, yeah. But bottom line, Twitter sucks. All right. Next item on the rundown sheet. You guys hear this clip? That damn baby. I will play a portion of it. Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but here we go.
Stuck in a holding pattern for weather. And an SW, a passenger loses his mind over a baby.
That child has been crying for 40 minutes. Lower that, and you can't put your fucking finger in my face like that. Calm the child down, please. I had headphones on. I was sleeping. Why is the baby yelling? I'm not screaming. You want me to scream?
Okay. All right. you probably can't hear it, but yeah, the person who initially shared this link with me compared that voice to Ice Cube, and I so agree with it. Anyway, you can't hear it, but essentially, a baby's crying on a plane, and it's, I guess it's, they've been in a holding pattern because the plane's been flying it's stuck in the air. It's fucking stuck in the air. And I guess there was a baby on the plane. And this grown ass man is like cursing out the baby. I guess the man snaps and starts cursing out. That's what you hear in the background, right? Again, the links is in the show note. You can hear it for yourself. And, you know, if you have a terrible sense of humor like I do, you're going to laugh at this shit. I found it funny. It's fucking funny. Hearing this grown ass man lose it on a baby. Now, this is one of those complicated thoughts that I have, these complicated emotions, because one, I do believe in the notion that it takes a village to raise a child. And I do believe, like, if I was in that situation, I'd be on the side of the poor parent, because, the assumption is, the parent has no control over this baby. What's she gonna do? Like, roofie this kid? Like fucking give her alcohol? No, you can't. You can't. It is what it is. Fucking baby's crying. All you could do is wait for that little motherfucker to shut the fuck up. So this is me saying I feel bad for the parents out there, especially if they're single or by themselves. They're in a situation, they're in a public place, and they can't get this baby to be quiet. Now, if you're in a church, you know, you can move it, or you can, you know, if you're in a, because I've heard, I grew up in churches where if the baby cried, fuck it. We acted like it was, we just kept going with the sermon, and, but no one cursed it. No one cursed out the parent, and the parent would probably even stay in the fucking, in the room while the baby cried. But, yeah, no, I guess I'm just saying, I feel bad for the parent, because I'm sure there's a parent out there who's like, yeah, I'm scared to get on this plane because this baby might lose it. I might not be able to control it. I feel bad for those parents. You know, it is what it is. Especially if those parents are part of a demographic who don't regularly inspire sympathy from other people. Like if they're black, or God forbid, they barely speak English. And, yeah, I get that, okay? Now, okay, I'm getting that out the way. Now that I've acknowledged that part, I get it, homeboy. Trust me, I fucking get it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I don't have any kids of my own. But the sound of a crying baby drives me nuts. Nuts to a point that I forget that they're a baby. That I forget that they're not an adult. That I forget that it's not an adult trying to piss me off or looking for it. Because you know when babies are crying and then they make it worse? And then they make it worse. Like, yeah, I'm not getting the fucking attention I want. And they up that pitch. Like, oh my God. I don't know. It just sees it to my brain. And I'm not saying homie was right. I'm just saying I understand. And that's why this shit makes me laugh. Look at me trying to justify the fact that it's making me laugh. No, I just thought it was. The reason I'm sharing this thought with you is because I was trying to get over. I was trying to process my complicated emotion around this situation. Hearing homie go on a rant just made me laugh. All right, okay. I don't have a name of who he is or whatever. I just know the shit made me laugh. All right, okay. Right. You guys heard the name Ralph Jarl? Did I pronounce that right? Ralph Jarl. Make sure I got this. I just read his story, and it's unfortunate. Oh, God damn it. Not Yale. Jarl. Yeah, Ralph Jarl. Okay. So this is based on what I understand is young brother was Kansas, the state where John Brown is from. Long story short, dude was doing some innocent shit, like trying to pick up his brother, and he got an address and went to the wrong address. Probably the address probably said road, and he went at street or some shit like that. Probably said north stuff. Long story short, he innocently went to the wrong fucking address. Happens in Canada. Happens here a lot. I mean, happens here. It happens, right? Innocently, wrong address. What's the unfortunate is, where's the story in that? Well, black kid, right, 60-year-old, goes to the door, rings the doorbell. I don't know if he rings the doorbell like he's supposed to do because he's going to pick up his brother. And the person at the other door is some old fucking man with a gun. And what do you think he did? Open the door and says, no, young man, you got the wrong address. Nah, man, old man opens the door, opens fire. Opens the door and opens fire. Shoots the kid. He shoots him. Shoots him twice. Why? Because this old white man was scared. I'm justifying it. Because he's fucking American. Because that's how they do in the States. Whatever, man. It's the because he had it. Because he could. That's why he did it. Because he fucking could. He was scared. Opened fire. Now, I know what it's like to have someone knock at your door that you're not expecting and being a little concerned. Right? But I think when you get to the point where you're like, your first instinct is to pick up a gun, respond with a gun. If they sweat me, I'm gonna open fire a la Tupac. I think there's a problem. There's a fucking problem. Anyways, old man shoots this young kid, and I'm not sure if he's in jail, but the part of the story is, and I think this is like the heartwarming part is, his grandson, the grandson of this old dude, responds to the situation. Now, I get it. I think I'm going to play this clip soon, but it's the symbolism that I like in this, right? As I get, there's no cure. There's potentially no cure for all these old ass racists. But I do love the fact when the younger generation looks back with shame and be like, fuck, you're my granddad. Fuck, you're one of them. You're that person we're talking about in the history books that was on the wrong side of history. Anyway, so I'm just going to play this clip of the grandson of the old man who shot Ralph Jarl. And yeah, nothing but shame, but here we go. Here we go. I mean, how would you respond to that situation?
When you heard that your grandfather shot Ralph Jarl for ringing his doorbell?
I was disgusted. I thought it was terrible. Myself and my family stand with Ralph Jarl and seeking justice. This is a horrible tragedy. It never should have happened.
Folks are going to want to know, why are you speaking out and apparently against your grandfather?
It's the right thing to do. This country happens over and over again where people get away with killing unarmed, innocent black people. And I would have had the same energy for any other case like I've had over and over again in this country, like I said. But so it's the right thing to do. People need to speak out and not make any excuses for this kind of behavior and this violence.
So you said for killing innocent black people, the prosecutor in this case has suggested that there was a racial component to it. Do you believe your grandfather is racist?
I believe he holds racist tendencies and beliefs.
Why do you say that?
He's just a stock American Christian male. It's the older, you know, that's just how they are. It's the conspiracies and weird, random racist things they say, yeah, so, and it doesn't make sense, but they're just scared.
Now, listen, you're generalizing a lot here about, you said, older Christian white males, but what do you mean by that? What do you mean they're scared? Talk to me more, please.
I feel like a lot of people of that generation are caught up in this 24-hour news cycle of fear and paranoia perpetuated by some other news stations, and he was fully into that, sit and watch Fox News all day, every day, blaring in his living room. And I think that stuff really kind of reinforces this negative view of minority groups and leads people to be a little, it doesn't necessarily lead people to be racist, but it reinforces and galvanizes racist people and their beliefs.
Has he always been this way, or is this something new?
I feel like he's been pretty conservative for a long time, which is fine. But I feel like in the last 5 or 6 years, it's really ramped up. He was a huge Trump supporter, and between that and then the galvanizing that people have been feeling lately with politicians and ideologues co-signing, you know, violence and domestic violence, domestic terrorism, and even pardoning people who murder other people for differing political beliefs. I feel like all that stuff has really ramped up his beliefs and radicalized him a little bit.
What's your reaction?
There we go. All right. That was Don Lemon. I can't add to that. I said everything I needed to be said. I got this clip from the real Hughley. And he goes, I don't need to say anything. His grandson said it all. Take a listen for yourself. Yeah, man. That's it. I'm going to stop there. I just like the idea. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I used to be disappointed at the fact that that there was no hell and all these piece of shit racist folks weren't going to die in hell, you know, weren't going to spend their afterlife burning in hell. But that's the only solace. Is that the word I'm looking for? That's the only, well, solace is one word, but it's the idea that future generation are going to, you may like yourself, but your progenies won't. And if that's what you, if you don't care about that kind of stuff, then I guess ain't shit I can say about that. But here we go. All right. Next news item. Hold on a second. What did I write that? I said, if there was ever. Okay, I'm not going to. All right. I'm not going to play this clip, but I forgot to put this. You know what? Okay, I can't find the story just because of time, short of time. But there was a story about some Peel police officers found some gold. Found some stolen items. Shit that was stolen worth $20 million. And I'm talking about gold and shit like that, right? And what kills me about this story is I'm so angry at the story because I'm like, oh, this is now you decide to be a good cop. Now you decide to be a decent human being. My point is, I wish they were like Carver and Herc from The Wire. And look, you find $20 million of stolen merchandise, of stolen artifacts, whatever the fuck, keep that shit in your fucking pocket. I'm like, I'm angry that these cops could have looked left, but they did chose to do the right thing. And it just makes me giggle on the inside. It's like it's on one end, I'm complaining about these cops not respecting the badge and killing black people, right? I'm upset at that shit. But then I hear a story about where the fuck did I put it? Because I closed my browser too early. Do I have the story? And you know, I'll be in the show notes. But the story is just about These cops are having a, we're not talking about drugs. We're not fucking talking about drugs. It's stolen item from a museum. And all I'm saying is, yeah, stolen item from a museum. All I'm saying is, if these cops had chosen to pocket that shit and later it became news, I would have been mad at them. No, not at all. Not at all. Drugs? Yeah, no, don't do that. No, that's not true. I'm also the guy who gets upset at drug busts too. You know, I don't like drugs being taken off the streets. Maybe the violence I don't like, right? Stop the violence. But drugs, come on, man. Let a dope fiend enjoy their high. Anyway, all right, okay. Last part of the last item I have on my rundown sheet for news and random thoughts. It's and if you notice, I'm not paying attention to the time this time. It goes answering a racist guy's question by Garrison Hayes. He's like one of those smart black people saying some smart shit. But here he goes. I love it. Oh, shout out to Talal Macy because I copied this post from him. Well, I got this Instagram post from him. All right, here we go. Try to mute it at the right time.
Will black people ever, 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 ever be able to be self-sufficient or independent? This question is obviously racist, but I will answer it as if it was asked in good faith. First of all, before emancipation, black people created the necessary infrastructure for their independence and self-sufficiency. In the year 1738, the first free black town was established in Mosey, Florida, which means that there was a free black town before there was a United States of America. The first black-owned media company, a newspaper, was established in 1827. All of this was before emancipation. Black towns and neighborhoods saved and circulated millions of dollars within their communities, like the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma, North Nashville in Tennessee, Sweet Auburn in Atlanta, and countless others. There is a list way too long to fit into this video. And do you know what happened to those thriving, independent, self-sufficient communities? What? They were attacked by white folks. They were bombed. They were raided. They were terrorized. They were demolished. These independent, self-sufficient black communities were fine and had existed for a very long time. The real question is, will whiteness ever, 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 ever be able to be self-sufficient and independent without black oppression?
Whoa.
Message, message, message.
Come on.
Message, message, message.
Yep. That's how that's how I make the distinction between white people and a person who just happens to be white. White people can't live in a world without white supremacy. They need to believe in the idea that, hey, we're the real deal. We're the real human beings. And the rest of us, if you're not animals, you're like, we have dominion over you, the natural order of that shit. And here's the fucked up part. You either believe it consciously or unconsciously. How do I know if I believe it unconsciously? Well, you'll notice that I try not to hang out with you. You'll notice that I feel the need to code switch around you. yeah, man. No, I don't know, man. I've been dealing with a white person who, one of those white people who claims to want to understand and make that shit difficult. And they claim, their words say they want to understand, but their actions don't fucking show it. And so they're a white person. And yeah. Anyway, all right, I can't add to this. I mean, I could, but I'd just be taking up more time than I hadn't budgeted for. So, this concludes our news and random thoughts. So let's just jump to the final thoughts. Final thought. I don't know if that should be plural or singular, but jump to the final thoughts. The next act three of this podcast. Here we go. Excuse me. It's going to sound disgusting, but you know that feeling when you want to burp and you can't? That's what's been going on. I don't know if you can tell, but... yeah. Someone call a doctor. Okay. What's up with today's title and intro verse that I read by Lupe Fiasco? Okay, this is the bullet points that I wrote down, and I'm hoping to make sense out of it. I said, struggle between the world I want to live in versus the world I actually live in. That's first bullet point. Why sensitivity feels like a weakness. the power of kindness, and my name is my name. All right, okay. All right. Today's title comes from a line from Lupe Fiasco's track, Let Me Put You On Game. Let Me Put You On Game is, there's three interpretations to that track, according to IMDb and Lupe Fiasco. Okay. And I'm starting slow so I can end high. Okay. It's either interpretation one is the five greatest evils. Interpretation number two, the devil's inherent in of every person. And interpretation number three, corrupt world leaders or Illuminati. Okay, that's not my interpretation is a mix of all three. And when he says put you on game, I think about the same game that is referenced in The Wire. In other words, capitalism. When he talks about put you on game, is let me tell you about the evil of the world, the evil the men do, the evil that exists in this world. And why this track came to mind is because on the last episode, I remember thinking about telling you how I still have difficulty not seeing sensitivity as a weakness. Let me back up. Sensitivity in a man as a weakness. It's hard for me to accept the fact that I'm a sensitive person and not saying I'm a bitch ass nigga, and not see it as a weakness. So after that episode, I found myself wondering, why do you see sensitivity as a weakness? Because sensitivity in a woman is attractive, but sensitivity in a man, well, that's interesting. Okay. Sensitivity in a man, if it's Tupac, if it's someone that's helping me heal through trauma, it's great. But when it's in me, it's only me that I make this distinction, that I have a problem with. I see it as a weakness. Like, I'm better off being, I'm a six feet one black guy, but it's like saying that I'm 5'1". I see it as, When I tell someone that I'm sensitive, it's like a reason to fuck with you. All right, I'm going to challenge you. They'll use the word I'm challenging you, but really is, you have a weakness that I can exploit. Anyways, so I was reflecting on why I kept perceiving sensitivity, especially highly sensitivity in me as a weakness. It's because, and it goes back to my first point, I struggle with the world that I want to live in and the one I actually live in. Let me fix that. And what I mean by that is, if I live in a world where it is evil, where it is cutthroat, where the only way to make it is to play by the rules of capitalism, basically is to not give a fuck. I just heard there's a civil war brewing in Sudan right now. It's ugly, man. Poor country's trying to make steps towards democracy, and now they're in the middle of a civil war. Let me write that. Is it a civil war? I just saw some ad about that, right? And all I can think about is, well, we're over here going Sudan, stupid. Sorry, I'm being hard on myself today. Excuse me. Whew. Yeah, Sudan fighting diplomat. Yeah, apparently a lot of diplomats for a Western country. Like, Canada's like, you might need to get the fuck out, because shit's about to go down. Shit's about to get real in this country. Where I'm going with this is, the rest of us are looking at this news going, oh, what a shame. That's terrible. Whatever. But somewhere out there, there's some asshole who's like, yeah! Oh, my God. Patrice O'Neill joked about how he's jerking off to that shit. It's like, oh my God, I'm getting my Christmas bone. Like, someone is going to benefit from this war. Whether it's the arm dealers, whether it's the people who make body bags, whether it's the people, whatever the fuck. But there are people in this world who see war and they're like, yes, human destruction. I am going to make so much, I am going to so benefit from this conflict. They're not on either side. It's just like, yeah, keep fighting, darkies. Here. like that line from, you know, I kind of regret not reading the whole track because it's really deep. Don't you know that I run this place? Anyway, whatever. I'm thinking about the game. Capitalism. I grew up listening to hip hop and noticed that every song, most of the track was from the perspective of the drug dealers prospering in the drug game. And I remember this one time, this one guy made some rapper made a video about being a victim of the drug game, basically dealing with addiction. And all of us were confused by that video. So why the fuck would you make that? It's like we completely forgot is while we're listening to these rappers brag about the killing they've been making in the drug game, we completely forget that there are like casualties. There's like drug, you know, there's like crack babies. When I recited the verse, the rap verse, the poem from Lupe Fiasco, I started specifically at the verse, at the part where he talks about, I hope you die in this trash. Actually, he says, I hope you die in his trash. Is that a typo or is that, okay, I want to pretend he says, I hope you die in this trash. And he's talking about the previous verse before that. He's saying, where's it again? Hope you die. Yeah, the previous verse, that in it goes, I talked to better than that. Okay, goes, I'm glad your daddy's gone, baby. Hope he never comes back. Hey, let me read the verse before that goes. I taught them to be better than that. I taught them to aim for the head and hope to never come back. I hope your daddy's gone, baby. Hope he never comes back. I hope he's with your mother, with my hustler, high in my traps. I hope you die in this trash. Yeah, he's talking about, look, wars turn parents into, some kids are going to become orphans. Oh my God, where I was going with this. Yes, I forgot. The reason I was thinking of Lupe Fiasco is because I was going to write my own poem about how when I first went into therapy, I was looking for a solution. I was pretty much asking, hey, I didn't realize this, but I was indirectly asking my therapist to help me not feel numb the human suffering. I'm tired of giving a fuck about other people's pain. How the fuck does that benefit me? Get rid of that shit because it's a hindrance. Like, caring is fucking with me. I wanted to get rid of, because that's the world we live in, man. We live in a world where you can prosper by not being sensitive. Actually, you might make even more money. Like, if you can earn people's trust and don't mind breaking it, you can make it. I mean, and as long as you don't get caught, you know. I'm talking about, like, the pastors, the politicians. You earn a great amount of people's trust. You make them, you get them to believe in you. And then dump and put money in the pot. And then when it's time to go, you bounce. It's like, fuck it. I don't give a fuck if this money could have paid for your kid. I hope they die in that trash. Like the cruelty. It's like if we live in a world where being cruel is the only way to prosper, then yeah. Being sensitive is a fucking weakness. I remember around that same time where, I can't remember if it was before or after, but around the same time I went into therapy, I picked up a book called The Art of Kindness. Is that The Art of Kindness? Make sure I'm not lying to you. The Art of Kindness? Oh, no, sorry, you idiot. Sorry. Oh, my God. This is why I don't preach to people about kindness, because I can be kind to other people, but not with myself. Okay, calm down, B. Watch your mouth. All right, no. The title is called The Power of Kindness. And because I found myself, I had hit a point. I should mention when I went into therapy, it was also around the time, a few months, several. It was around the, look, George Floyd's death fucked with me, man. And yeah, it just had me hating the world, and it had me questioning what's the point of being kind. And that's why I picked up this book called The Power of Kindness, Piero Ferrucci. And by the end of first few pages, just made me realize that the reason we're kind is because we like it. Like I was so focused on all the time I was kind to people and motherfuckers didn't pay it back that I completely forgot that I also benefited from other people's kindness. That's what, when the first few pages of the book reminded me that, all right, I kind of appreciate I would not be here if it wasn't for the kindness of others. I completely forgot about that shit. But I was mad because I remember thinking, yo, kindness is for suckers. Like, I'm being played. It's not being kind that bothers me. It's the fact that it's not the kind of being kind to others. It's the fact that some people get off or prosper by taking advantage of other people's kindness. It fucks with me. Call me a young, innocent, poor child who still hasn't figured out the world. But that's my disbelief with the world. I know it exists. I know there's people there are shitty people out there and who take advantage of, I think there are people who can't bust a nut unless they're in a monogamous relationship, right? They get into a monogamous relationship and cheat on that person. Like, they can only bust a nut after violating the rules of a monogamous relationship. Like, they cheat on you because that's the only way I can bust a nut. I'm sorry. I can't bust a nut for being in for being in a loving relationship. No, I bust a nut for destroying loving relationships. I don't know. I guess, yeah. So there I was reflecting on the concept of sensitivity, seeing it as a weakness, and wondering, I think that's what's going on, is I kept being convinced that the world that I live in is an ugly world, and you only make it by respecting the laws of the jungles. What is it? Dog eat dog? Dog eat dog. Not giving a fuck. Basically, the strongest line in that Lupe Fiasco's verse is, I hope you die in this trash. He's talking to a baby. I think about how one of the things that crossed my mind when people talk pro-life bullshit, that pro-birth shit, is, you don't give women, like, don't be talking that pro-life shit and then be surprised and then talk about, oh my God, how dare she put a child in a trash bin, you know? I'm like, this is my message for pro-choice. It's like, look, man, don't put a human being in a situation where they can't raise a kid, because they'll get creative. If someone don't force a solution on someone dealing with an unwanted pregnancy. Don't force your solution. Let them figure it out, because you don't want them to get creative. You don't want them to, I say creative, desperate. You don't want them being like, fuck it. I'm putting this baby in a trash bag and letting it die. Putting it in a trash bag and hope it dies in this trash bin. The cold world that we live in. It's fucked up that some people believe that's a solution to a problem. And I'm not giving those people a pass. But I am saying our world is so fucked up that it can feel like a solution to a problem. You're surrounded by people who are saying, nah, you gotta have this baby. How am I gonna feed it? I can barely feed myself. Sensitivity, that's what I'm talking about. Sensitivity, I'm losing track. I'm talking about being sensitive to... Yo, I had a situation this week. This might be, I guess I could consider this a breakthrough, where I was talking to another man. I'm not going to go into specifics, but I was making friends here with a new person. And I spoke to him like I'm speaking on this podcast, and I pretty much I was because I was explaining to this person how it was a conversation about understanding the struggles of trans people, and of course this person didn't get it. And what I used as an example is like I think I can connect, I can relate to the notion of not just trans, sorry, being a non-binary person. And I said I connected to the idea of being born one gender, being assigned a gender, and not feeling like you live up, like you were not meant to be that person. Like I wasn't trying to act like an expert. I know what it's like to be a non-binary person. What I was saying is I was trying to say that, look, my struggle as a man, as a boy becoming a man, is I've always been the sensitive type. And but I was in denial of it. I pretended like I didn't because I wanted to live up. I wanted people to perceive me as a real man. I wanted to, like, you know, I'm a boy. I don't wear girl shit. I don't do girl shit. I don't play with dogs. What the fuck? You know what I mean? I it was important for me that when people saw me, they said, yes, that's a masculine man. That's a man of men among men type of shit like that. So I would hide the fact that I was sensitive. But now that I embraced it, I've embraced it while trying to unlearn the notion that it's weakness. Anyway, so I'm in a conversation and the words just came out of my mouth that, yeah, I know what it's like because I grew up as a boy, but I was always the sensitive type. And I remember not caring about the outcome. Because usually when you say, for me, I used to see it telling another man that you're sensitive, you're better off saying, telling a guy who's trying to rob you with a gun that, hey, I don't have a gun. It's like saying, I have a weakness. It's like saying, here is my weak spot. Here's what you can attack. If you want to bring me down, here is how you go about it. And it made me two things. It made me realize in that conversation how I don't trust men. I had this relationship with men. I probably, you know, talked that bro code shit. But bottom line, I see every man as a player in this game, and this doggy dog game. This is like, yo, fuck that. If I do something nice for you, it's because I want something from you. Like worse than gold diggers. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I was in a situation where I told the man, and it caught me off guard. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But the other thought clicked me. Crossed my mind. I was thinking of that Biggie line. It says, niggas think I'm pussy. I dare you to stick your dick in this. meaning, after telling this dude, oh, shit, I told him I'm sensitive. I'm saying, yeah, you know what? But don't try me. You can try me, but it's not going to work out the way you think it is. Anyway, it was a moment. It was just a moment. Anyway, so to answer the question, what's up with the title is, I was just thinking about, it was a reflection on why I kept perceiving my sensitivity as a weakness. And part of it is because believing that I live in a cruel world and the only way to survive is by being even more cruel than this world. Again, I'm working on it. I'm dealing with it. The other thing too is what I like about that line is to titles of today's episode, which is the last line in Lupe Fiasco's track, Mouths That Say My Name. I'm thinking about that line by Marlo in The Wire. My name is my name. But it has me thinking about, as I am struggling to figure out whether I live in, as I struggle to figure out the kind of world that I live in and the kind of world I want to be part of, I'm also thinking about how I want to be perceived. Okay, let me back up. What I want to be known for. See, on one end, I could, like, you know, my name is my name. What do I want to be known for, right? Because he says, I hope these bullet holes become mouths that say my name. So, what do I want people to associate with me? Like, okay, look, at the moment, I believe that people associate me with kindness. Problem is, when I think of that, but I associate that with weakness. B is fragile. But I think about that. Okay, this is my attempt to own up to this shit. It's like, on one end, I think about how I joke about how my favorite dictator is Kim Jong-un. How I wish I was walking in his shoes. Like, I wish I could, like I could be a tyrant. See, I want the benefits of the tyrant. I just don't want the lifestyle. Like, I don't like the idea of constantly having to watch my back. But I guess, okay, what I'm getting at, what I'm thinking about is, in the end, when it's all said and done, don't want people to curse my name and being like, man, fuck me black. Okay, look, people won't be saying fuck me black regardless, but it's the giving them reason. It's like, because he screwed you over. Like, I don't handle guilt too well. Not to say that I walk on water or shit like that, but I'm saying the idea of me screwing someone over, giving them a reason to be like, yeah, okay, they're saying they got a fuck B black poster, and they're justified because, you know, I'm kind of the reason why their kids is high on drugs. I'm kind of the reasons why they couldn't, I stole money from them. You know, I did them badly. It's like, I'm having difficulty making this point, painting this image. It's on one end, I could be the weak guy who no one's scared of, but they don't hate. Or I could be the one that they fear. You know, oh shit, yeah, well, fuck, don't fuck with B Black. I can have that name, right? Don't fuck with B Black. While also thinking, yeah, B Black is the reason why. I gotta live with my parents now. I'm thinking about the concept of legacy. I'm having to go. Maybe I should. Okay, I'm gonna come back to the thought to write this down. It'll probably make more sense if I write it down. But it's more the idea of, what do I want my brand to be associated with? Do I want it to be associated with evil, or do I want to be associated with good? The thing is, being associated with evil is the perception of power. There's the perception of strength. The perception of, I like the idea of, don't fuck with him. Don't fuck with that nigga. I like the idea of, not that I want a street rep. Like, I love that scene in The Wire with Avon Barksdale. Oh, it's perfect. When Avon, there's a scene in The Wire where Avon Barksdale, he's the you know, he's like a drug kingpin, right? And he's in jail, and a bunch of dudes in jail are playing baseball, and he's got to walk across that baseball field, and I fucking love this scene, and they're like, yo. As soon as they notice him, they like, everyone's like, time out. No one asks any question. Why? We're in the middle playing a game. No, time out. Avon Barksdale's taking his sweet time walking across that baseball field, right? I love that shit. That power. I love that. I just realized that I'm talking like Bishop from Juice right now. I get it. It sounds crazy, but I'm just being honest with you. I'm sharing real thoughts. I'm not trying to. This is not an act. This is just. Like, this would be more entertaining if I could put this in a rap verse, if this was in poem. But no, instead it's in a poem. All right, yeah, that scene where Avon Barksdale walks through a baseball field, and no one, they like, time out, they let him walk. And when he's done, then they resume the game. I'm like, that shit is power. But then I think about, in order to get that kind of reputation, in order to be able to establish that power, you gotta be mean. You got to do some mean shit. You got to do some fucked up shit. You got to be able to laugh at a baby dying in a trash bag. You know what I mean? In a bin, if it comes down to it. You got to be able to do shit like, yeah, I'm selling weapons to both sides. You know what I mean? I don't know. Okay. Look, I tell you what. You can write in, but I'm expressing this thoughts while having this conversation in my head, which I know what people are responding with. Well, no, power doesn't mean you have to be mean. I don't know. I'm just saying, a lot of these rich folks, I used to wonder, a lot of these rich folks, they didn't do the turn the other cheek shit. Sure, they worked hard, but I'm thinking of, what's his name? Littlefinger. Yes, Littlefinger. Yeah, he did some ugly shit to get to where he was at. And then Ned Stark gets his head cut off. I get it that I'm being too extremes, and I'm sure there's a nuance in there, but that's not how my brain works at the time. I am just saying, I'm just, in the end, in response, I'm just thinking about the evil that men's do and the benefit to being an evil person. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying I want to be evil, but I am. Sometimes I wonder whether folks who aren't being evil are kidding themselves. You know, I'm realizing that, holy shit, I'm going over my time. I'm realizing that I'm painting a picture. I'm describing a lot about myself and my upbringing and the world that I've been exposed to. I know that this is not, my thoughts aren't healthy. I'm admitting that. I know that. I know, but they're my thoughts at the moment. It's this perception that I have of the world. I feel like I'm saying, yeah, bad boys get all the chicks. I know. It's like, maybe it doesn't help that I grew up Christian and the incentive to be kind was not to go to hell. I'm trying to answer the question or rationalize kindness. I mean, I know why we need it. I just can't teach it. That's what I'm getting at. I couldn't, if you see me post anything related to kindness, anything about embracing being highly sensitive, I'm full of shit at the moment because I'm still figuring it out. I don't have enough. I can't make an analogy out of it. I could just give you a bunch of talking points about, yeah, you need to be a nice person. But, yeah, it is what it is. Did I mention at the beginning my therapist gave me an assignment and it required courage? I didn't specify, right? Okay, maybe I'll elaborate. Maybe I'll explain it in the next episode. But right now I'm just feeling a little, fuck. the assignment is not, you know, I'm not going to get an F for it, but it's one of those things. It's like, fuck, I let my own self down. That's how I'm feeling. Anyway, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better that I expressed these thoughts with y'all, even though I'm 1 hour, 16 minutes. Yeah. Okay. But I'm feeling better. I did what I did. And I'm gonna continue on doing it. All right, man. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Like I mentioned during the episode, holler at me on Twitter until Elon Musk fucks it up. The handle is either at bblizak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website address is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. That's so old school. You kids still use email? People still using email? It's just old Generation X shit. Generation X boomer shit. Subscribe using the RSS feed. Yeah, that's the part that I was supposed to, that was the assignment. I was supposed to expand the ways you can find Shut Up Podcast. I'm working on it, man. I'm not perfect. I'm working on it, all right? But until further notice, to subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.